playing all the hits. This is MKFM. It's 11 minutes past 11. Pauline Purcell is on the way in a moment. She's going to be talking about family law stuff. For example, things like partners' houses being in sole names and splitting up from partners and extensions and all that sort of stuff, and who's liable. If you have any burning questions for Pauline Purcell, they may get answered for you in about 20 minutes here on MKFM. She's here. From Purcell Solicitors, Pauline Purcell. Beautiful lady. I'm honoured. 11:36, we will take some questions that you've been sending to us and we'll run those by Pauline in a moment. It's anything to do with family law. We've got a few things that we're covering here, quite a few topics actually. Really useful stuff. If you're going through something at the moment, you need to keep your radio tuned to 106.3 FM or on your DAB channel or online at mkfm.com and make sure that you listen to some really useful advice, which is on the way next after this one. Duke Dumont, Real Life. I'm loving this already. The beat of MK, Duke Dumont, Real Life. Now, Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors, tell me again what you just said to me then.
I said it reminds me of when I was clubbing in the early 90s.
Oh, look at you, you sassy gal.
Those are the days.
I know. Do you know, I remember my youth when I used to go to Ministry of Sound in London and I'd stand there and all this weird music was playing and I had no idea what was going on. It didn't even sound like music. It was just like a noise. Couldn't do it anymore.
Just follow the crowd.
I know. Have you been to a nightclub in the past 10 years?
I have, actually.
Have you? When did you go?
Yeah, about 4 years ago.
Right.
My husband and I, we were quite new at that time.
Yeah.
And we were out somewhere and he just said, oh, let's go in here. And we were like, you know, there's all these youngsters there.
I know.
But they kept coming up to us and giving us the fun thumbs up. You know, we were the old guys in town that night, but they were loving it.
I know. Do you know, I took my dad along for my first marriage to a stag do. And he was probably about 60 then, okay? And all these young girls are 20s, mid-20s, 30s, coming up and, like, they were giving him all the attention. Like, hang on a minute, I'm the stag. What's going on? I don't know. Anyway, listen, enough about our clubbing experiences in our youth. Pauline's here for a very serious reason. Of course, you know, we all go through stuff in life, don't we, from time to time. And Pauline's job is basically to try and ease things for you and make sure that you get through the hard times as easily as possible. So did you want to just sort of give us a bit of a background, first of all, on what you're about? Because if someone's listening for the first time and they've not heard about you, if you can just tell us who you are and who Purcell Solicitors, you know, what they're about.
Okay, so we're a specialist family law firm. So if you're separating from your partner or your spouse, there are often legal issues to sort out about what happens to your finances, your house, your money, your business. And often, most importantly, what about the children? You know, what if there are issues about where they live, where they go to school, even taking them out of the country, changing their names? There's all these issues that arise when people separate. But it's not just about when people separate, it's when people get together as well. So rather than having the problem at the end of the relationship, think about what would happen at the start of the relationship if you broke up. So increasingly people are having agreements drawn up at the start,
right,
setting out, you know, what should happen. These are people who perhaps are either just living together, so you could have a living together agreement, or a what's called a prenuptial agreement. So we're getting married, we've already decided to a large degree what should happen if we separate.
I thought that was just a showbiz thing, but is that becoming more and more common now?
Much more common.
Right.
You know, particularly people who are getting married perhaps later in life and have already acquired assets, or perhaps have already been through it once and want to protect what they've got. Increasingly, you've got people bringing their own children into relationships, so they want to protect what they've got for their children. So it's becoming much more common.
And how much, you know, is this quite a regularly changing thing? Do you constantly have to be on top of the rule changes and the way the law's
moving? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, particularly these issues. Historically, prenuptial agreements weren't particularly legally binding, but they're increasingly becoming binding, providing they're done properly.
Would you advise someone that if they are marrying into money, is that the go-to thing? You know, do you take it from the kind of business aspect, or do you take into account some emotional side of it as well?
Well, remember, if someone's going into a relationship, it's their decision going into it. So it's not so emotional, I don't think. It's much more at the end of the relationship that it gets emotional. People are much more pragmatic, I think, at the start, if they've thought about the issues. But it's often quite a difficult discussion to have.
Of course, yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, and it depends who you are. Are you the person wanting to protect your money, and how do you raise that with the person you're either just about to start living with or the person that you're just about to marry? And then how do you react as the person being told, well, actually, I want to protect my assets? But it's often better having that discussion at the start rather than at the end.
Do you know what, Polly? I'm so grateful, you know, to the universe and God above and everything that, you know, I've never had to have this problem because I work in radio and we don't really get that much money in it. But we will go through a couple of your texts in a moment and we'll get some actual specific questions addressed. How's that sound?
Brilliant. Great.
It's Robin Schultz and David Guetta on the beat of MK. This is MKFM. I'm joined by Pauline Purcell. Purcell Solicitors. We got a few texts from a few people that have got some related to what we were talking about just now, in fact. Here's the first one. Is it okay if I run these by you?
Yeah.
This one's from Sharon. She says, I'm living in my partner's house in his sole name. We have no children together. I've never paid anything to the house, but it's been my home for the past 7 years. We've split up and he's asked me to move out. What are my rights?
Not very much, I'm afraid. I mean, if they live together without her making any real substantial financial contribution to the property, then if the relationship is ended, he can simply say, I'd like you to leave.
Wow.
He has to give her 28 days notice. So she's there as what's called a licensee. So she's there with his consent. He can withdraw his consent at any time. And after then, she has to leave. I appreciate it's been her home, but unless there's been some real proper intention that she is to share that property, and we're not told that there is, then she is simply a mere licensee and he's entitled to withdraw his consent to her being there and she'll have to leave.
If she's brought her own stuff in, of course, though, she gets to take that with
Absolutely.
Her, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, anything that's hers in the property, she gets to take. Anything she's bought, so she may have bought furniture or furnishings, she's entitled to take those. But other than that, yep, she goes without any claim on his property.
All right, Sharon, I hope that answers your question. Sorry to hear that. Dawn says, my partner and I have separated. We've got two children and still living in the home in his sole name. Help, she says. Can you?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, here, there's a difference from the first question because we have two children. Mm. And the children obviously need a home. So even if she hasn't made any financial contribution to the property, the children still need a home, whether it's this home or another home. And she, Sharon, on behalf... Sorry, it's Dawn this time, isn't it?
It's Dawn,
So Dawn, on behalf of the children, could make an application under what's called the Children Act for the children to be provided with a home. So potentially she and the children could carry on living there. So her partner would have to leave this time. He would have to find somewhere else to live, even though it's his property. But the priority is the children. But she only has a right to live there while the children are children. So until they finish secondary education normally. And then he's entitled to come back and live there. It remains his property always. So he's the legal owner continuously. She just has a right to live there.
It's almost like he becomes a legally enforced landlord then,
Absolutely.
In a way. Right, I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah. And then they'd have to come to some sort of arrangement about Sure. who pays the mortgage and does she pay any rent.
Yeah.
But at least the children are provided with a home.
They're safe. That's good, yeah.
And it's not a property issue, but obviously he would then have to pay maintenance for the children.
Of course. Okay. Well, I hope that helps, Dawn. We've also got one from Clive. I've split up from my partner and moved out the house in her sole name. When we were together, I paid 50 grand for an extension to the house. Do I have a claim?
Very probably. Again, it's all about intention here. Often people think that when you live together, you become what's called common law husband and wife. There's no such thing. You're either married or you're not. If you're married, you're subject to matrimonial law. If you're not married, you're subject to property law. So it could just be two friends living together, or two sisters, or here we've got a couple who are together. So they're not treated any differently under a separate couples law. So here it's all about property law. So what was their intention? So was there anything in writing that he should have a claim? If there's nothing in writing, you then look at, well, what do we assume was their intention? And you would assume that if someone is putting £50,000 into a property, you would assume that that's because they've agreed, albeit informally, that he would have a claim. You're not going to do that unless there's been some sort of discussion or understanding that there's a claim.
Of course.
But it's tricky, you know, where there isn't anything in writing and where the parties haven't had legal advice at the start. You know, it's what we discussed right at the very start of this discussion. If you don't think about these issues at the start, you have a problem at the end.
It's worth diving in straight at the beginning, isn't it, and getting
Absolutely.
It all sorted so you know where you are. All right, well, listen, thank you, Pauline. We'll come back in a moment and we'll get to another couple of texts as well, a couple of burning questions here. But we'll do a little bit of music for you first. We'll have Pink on the way next. That's Pink. What about us? The beat of MK, MKFM. Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors is here. By the way, thank you to Louise, who's just literally texted right at the very end. So, Louise, we'll get to your text next time. Pauline will be back in, don't worry. In fact, we'll get your number and we'll text you when we're going to have Pauline again, just so you can listen in and get the answer. In fact, we'll send Pauline your number as well, in case you want to talk about some stuff that you've raised there. In the meantime, we've got one more text here. Let's get through it now with Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors. This one's from Rachel. She says, I moved into my partner's house 3 years ago. The house is in his sole name, and I sold my house when I moved in. We're living off the sale proceeds from my previous house and using these to pay the mortgage. I want to protect the contribution I'm making. What can I do? Complicated.
It sounds as though they're still together. We're not told that they're separating. So at any time, couples can reach an agreement as to what they want to do if they break up. We talked earlier about, you know, perhaps if you're entering into a relationship, whether you're living together or going to get married, that you can enter an agreement, a written agreement, setting out the terms as to what should happen to your children or finances if you separate. Well, you can still do that whilst you're together. So at any time, they could draw up an agreement or have it drawn up, setting out, if we separate, I want to protect my investment into our lives. And here, you know, she's got a few difficulties because she hasn't made a contribution to the original purchase price of the property.
Right.
She hasn't paid for an extension. What she's done, it sounds as though, is her money has gone on general living expenses and savings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, it's all about, well, what do the parties intend that they're doing in relation to their finances? So it's much better for her now to reach an agreement with her partner as to what should happen than try and sort out what were intentions when they split up.
If they're in a slightly a dubious position in their relationship at the moment, maybe they're arguing a lot and she's worried that might tip the edge. I mean, what advice could you give her? I mean, obviously, from a legal point of view, you've got to do it, but how should she broach it, do you think?
Well, I think it's a real discussion. It's a discussion about their continuing relationship. It sounds as though she's feeling a bit insecure, and insecure about money, because obviously people are often when they separate. So it's a really, really tricky discussion to have, but it's better having it now rather than later. It may be that they can involve a third party in that discussion to help them. You know, some people find a family friend that they trust, or a family member. Or they could go to an independent, neutral person to help them make those decisions. You know, they could go to mediation together to get someone to help them make the decisions themselves. But better doing it now than later.
I think that's brilliant advice. Thank you very much, Pauline. Well, listen, Pauline, it's been a delight meeting you, and thanks for coming in. We're going to get you in again because Louisa is going to get angry if we don't address her text, and
we'll definitely do that.
We'll definitely do that. Thank you for sending that text in, Louisa. Sorry, it's a little tiny bit late for this week's segment. We'll get you in again. Thank you very much for coming in, Pauline.
Cheers. Thanks very much. MKFM.